Amen.
Father, we have a seat
agitated. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and believe, say with me, amen.
Amen.
You may take your seats. Greater love than this, and no man. Greater love than no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
In this text, to set the context, to let you know what's going on, Jesus evidently had been invited to dinner. And this was not an ordinary dinner. This was a dinner of dignitaries. And I don't know if anybody ever had to go to a formal dinner that was by invitation only. This was the kind of dinner that each plate cost $1,000. Any and everybody wasn't there. The Pharisees were there. The Sadducees were there. As I said before, the dignitaries of that day was there. And they had invited Jesus really to check him out. You know how we do. You know, we sometimes just invite folk over just to see what kind of people they are. That's what they used to do. We don't invite folk over no more. But what we did was sometimes just check them out and to get in their business. Y'all ain't gonna
be able to.
What is it that they had heard about? They wanted to see for themselves, so they invited Jesus. And Jesus begins to school them. And you know, you could really say that you know, anybody who didn't know what was going on, that Jesus didn't know how to act in a situation like this, because he spoke his mind and he told the people that instead of inviting these dignitaries, you should have invited the low life of the town. And it was the Sabbath day, so they set this man, the Bible says, that had the dropsy in front of Jesus, knowing that Jesus was going to have compassion on it and heal it. Because who was going to work on the Sabbath, listen to this, and not even heal anybody. So they set him up, put him right there, and Jesus, knowing what they were doing, healed the man. And then he gave them a lesson of why he did. You know, sometimes you got to tell them why you're doing what you're doing.
Amen.
You know, the only time you got to tell them why you're doing what you're doing is when you're praising God, because it ain't about them.
That's right, Pastor.
Maybe that's why some folks are crying in here, because you're afraid what folks are going to say about it. But this invitation was gold and broken. individuals of notoriety. Individuals who were of means, the dignitaries, the Bible says. He took it to those who were chosen. Look at somebody say, I'll be chosen. He took it to someone who was chosen. And the Bible says that he bade many to come. What you must need to know is this is a picture of the great invitation of God, because whether you know it or not, there has been a table set.
Amen. Amen.
And this isn't an ordinary table. Now, this isn't a table like we see when we go to Golden Corral. Golden Corral has a smorgasbord of food, but you have not seen a table until you see the Lord's table. I got it. The Lord's table is splendor. You hear what I'm talking about? It's got a first, they got, what is the first, the first thing that you eat? You got a second thing you eat, what is that called?
Courses.
Courses, thanks, I can't preach. It's got several different courses that's been prepared especially for the guests. And he says now everything is ready. Somebody say it's already. Now, what you must need to know, in heaven there's going to be a great feast. A great feast. And the invitation has been sent. I don't know if you've ever been to one of these fancy dinners, but the dinners that I have had an opportunity to go to that were fancy had names on the seat. That meant that you couldn't sit anywhere.
That's right, Pastor.
And not only did it mean that you couldn't sit anywhere, it meant that it was by invitation only.
Amen.
Somebody say by invitation only.
By invitation only.
So you had to go and look to find out where you were supposed to sit. Now, have I painted a picture for you?
Amen, Pastor.
There's a table right now in heaven that's been set, and the air is already. Look at my head already. And he sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Somebody say it's ready right now. It's not getting ready. It's not going to will be ready. The Bible says that the table has been set. And I don't know about you, but when the table was set, they went out of home.
All right.
Mama used to set the table. We were out in the field, and she would come up to the edge of the porch and say something like, something was ready. And I don't know about you, but whatever I was doing, I was talking. You know what he's talking about? But the point is that when the invitation goes out, you stop what you're doing. And you start making your way to the table. Invitation went out specifically for them. The Bible says that they began to give excuses. Can I talk about it for a minute?
Amen.
The Bible says that the first one that they came to, that the invitation went to, it says, and they all with one consent began to make excuses. Look, somebody say, what's your excuse? The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. And I must needs go and see it. And then he said, I pray that you would excuse me. In other words, what he was saying is, I can't come to the supper, or I can't take advantage of the invitation because I just bought some land. And then what he said?
Amen.
And he says, I got to go and see it. What kind of excuse is that? Let me tell you something. Some of our excuses are not excuses, they're lies.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, quiet right
here.
Anybody know that before you buy some land, you're going to go look at it?
That's right.
This man was lying through his teeth. People saying, look, I can't go because I bought some land, I got to go see it. Now, everybody knows you don't buy land before you see it. This is representative of us who are holding on to these material things.
All right, yeah.
God done called you, he done told you what to do, but because of your mentality of materialism, you ain't going. Somebody say second point. Please excuse me. Anybody know, before, I don't know about you, but before I buy me a car, I'm going to drive it first.
That's right.
Come on, wait.
Amen.
What kind of sense does it make for me to go ahead and buy something I never test drove? He said, let me go and test these oxen up. Excuse me. That ain't nothing but a lie. Anybody knows that before you buy oxen, before you buy a car, you're going to test it out.
Amen.
See how it buys. Ain't got no witnesses in
here. Amen.
Some of us can just test it out and don't want to drive. We ain't going to try it. We trying to buy it. Come on, this is no nothing but one gives an excuse because they are tied up with what they want to do. There's people right here that will serve the church because they are so tied up with what they're already involved in that they won't let it go. Looks like we need to let that go.
Yeah.
But this is the one that I really want to get to. For this is the majority of the people. Look at what this last sermon, the last one said. And he started to make an excuse, first, the second, and another said, this is the one. I have married me a wife. And therefore, I cannot come. Don't that sound funny? In other words, what he's saying is, I'm married now. And I'm going to see if all of what I've been hearing is true. Y'all still ain't there. What he's saying is, you're going to get so tied up in relationship that you miss the ultimate relationship. The ultimate relationship is God through Christ Jesus. But this man is saying, my wife is more important. Can I say right here, sometimes it's not the wife, it's the child. We have people who worship
their children.
Their children. Right, you're going to get quiet right now.
Please, Pastor.
We got people here, grown folk. You ain't in charge of your house. Your child is. I see there's some blank looks. I'm getting some blank looks. I'm talking to the one now that you can't leave a boo-boo. But nobody. You ain't been on a date with your husband in years. You still buy. And then you wonder why your husband looking at other women.
All right,
you don't need for nobody to just go out to the I'm going to say it again. You better make certain that the fire is burning at home.
All right, Pastor.
And the only way that you can make sure that the fire is burning at home, you got to do what?
Be there.
You got to stoke it there. Invite the blind, invite the lame, invite the one. no excuse. The blind didn't give no excuse. The Bible says that they went.
Yeah.
And notice that the serpent came back and said, you know what, Master, there is still room. That's why I said there's still room. There is still room. So he sent out a third invitation. I said a third invitation. He said, this time, go to the edges. In other words, go to the sticks. Go where nobody has gone before. And I want you to invite them to come. Somebody say, it's free.
It's free.
This invitation is free, y'all. This invitation does not cost any money. The invitation I'm talking about can be found in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to read it. You just listen. In Revelation chapter 19, and he said unto me, this is the angel talking, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And he said unto me, these are true sayings of God. It has been prophesied in the book of Revelation that the table has been set. The invitation is now going out. And now the Pharisees who were supposed to be the ones, the Jews who were the chosen ones to sit at the table first, they refused the call. The Jews are those who sit at church, hear the call, and still do not respond.
Amen.
Going to church is not going to ensure your seat at the table.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't understand that. Just because you sit up in a garage is not going to make you a car.
That's right.
So don't think coming here to church and sitting Sunday after Sunday makes you a Christian because it don't. 90% of the folk at church are going to hell. 90%. Only 10% will make it easy. Oh, that's as plain as you can get. So why waste all this time? Why waste all this time? Coming to church will not ensure your salvation.
Amen.
Being church will.
Amen.
Somebody said a table is set.
Table.
And that's why the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Look at verse 26 of that same chapter. Any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, and brethren, and sisters, yeah, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Oh, that's a tough word.
Amen.
That word hate. Anything, I said again, that you put in front of God is your idol. Anything. You know, I always have people make sure you have your altar at home. Everybody has an altar. And it's called an entertainment center. See, that choir right there. The entertainment center it is the center of focus. Y'all stop me in my car. I ain't gonna stop me. But that entertainment center is where we come and sit and spend hours on end looking and worshiping in that blue screen. Are y'all going to be quiet? While we'll be reading our Bibles, we'll worship it at the altar of entertainment. We can tell you every episode of Family Feud. But we can't tell you, die on the cross.
All right, Pastor.
We got our favorite show. Oh, But I can't say nothing at all. And the only thing we can, you know, the only thing is if we can have chairs, we'll be on our knees. Because ain't many gonna stand and look at TV. Am I right?
Man.
So we sit there hours on end. And we look at movie after movie after show after show after show. Somebody say, Selah.
Selah.
If any man of a raven again come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his and children, his brethren, or sister, yeah, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. This thing called Christianity is serious. The invitation has been given. The table has been set. And those who were chosen to be there, back then it was the Jews. They were the chosen people. They refused the Lord. And because of their refusal, the door opened wide open for the Gentiles. That's us. In today's New Testament dispensation, the invitation is still going out now, even to his church. And the refusals are just the same. They are coming back frequently. But now folk ain't giving no excuse. They just don't come. Let me tell you, all three of these excuses, the only reason that they didn't come is because they didn't hunger. But somebody said, are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
How many know, I don't care how good the food is, if you're not hungry, if you've ever been sick, where that sickness took your appetite, and you couldn't eat, I don't care what was, your favorite meal would be sitting right in front of you. And it would literally make you sick. The reason that they didn't come then and the reason that they don't come now is because they do not hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Bible says, for they shall be filled. Those are the ones who have the invitation to sit at the table. But you can't sit at the table unless you're hungry right now. And if you're not hungry enough right now, you won't do the things necessary to receive the invitation. What you must need to know is another way, another place in the scripture. Matthew said not only did the invitation go out to the supper, but the clothes that you were supposed to wear came with the invitation. Can you imagine that? You ain't got to pick up nothing that you're going to wear. You already got a bunch of it on. Because it came with the invitation. You already got a Gucci to put on. Because it came with the invitation. You already got the shoes, the makeup, the everything came with the invitation. All you got to do is just accept it. That's good. That's good. Yet we still refuse. And I don't know about you, but if anybody ever gave you something, invited, you know, we have many invitations to come and eat. And my first response is, what you want me to bring? Because it feels kind of funny to go to somebody else and they done did all this preparing, they done bought money. This stuff costs money. And I feel like I need to contribute something. But at this invitation, the price has already been paid. All we gotta do is accept the invitation. My question for you is, have you accepted it? And listen to this. The only thing that will make you accept the invitation, you've got to be hungry.
Amen.
And the Bible says, blessed he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. Let me tell you something. The more you want to do right, the more you want to do right. The more you do right, that's righteousness. The more you do right, the more you want to do right.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
Righteousness, you never get filled. You never get filled. The more right you are, the more right you want to be. Let me tell you the trick of the devil. The trick of the devil will fool you with the deceitfulness of thinking that you have messed up so bad that God won't give you. The trick of the devil says that when you fall, you can't get up again. And if you do, he will not listen to you. The trick of the devil says that the invitation only goes out to the high. That's called the pole of religiosity. That's a lie. When God says, I have no respect for person. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what affiliation you're with. The Bible says that it went out three invitations. He wanted his house to be full. And get this, his house will be full.
Amen.
Let me say it again. There will not be an empty seat at the table.
Amen.
Just don't think because you don't be there.
All right, Pastor.
Your seat won't be filled. Who knows? I might be sitting there. Why, I ain't going to hell for nobody. I'm going to finish. I got my seat at the table. Let's say, you got your seat at the table. I got my seat at the table because I received that invitation a long time. And all you got to do is say yes. Give God a hand clap of praise. Somebody say, a seat at the table. The great invitation has gone out, and now, this is the time of reckoning, the time in which we need to make up our minds. Will we accept the invitation? Anything less than acceptance is a distraction. There's no reason. You can't put it on your property. You can't put it on your job. These people gave excuses for their lives. This man blamed his wife. I can't come to the supper because I just got mad. One said, you know, I just bought me some land. Don't you know that the Bible says your life can be required of you this day? It's been said in times past that, you know, you can be here today and gone tomorrow. Just change. You can be here today and gone today. Life is short. Dick Morrill already said that half the year is already gone. Did you notice that? 2019 is almost gone. Moving on. Living on with us. We are of the mind that if you have not accepted an invitation, you're going to extend it again today to join Christ. Christian discipleship is something that is a decision that is made by the individual. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through the door. Christ is the door. You have made the decision. These people, these men are standing in Mars Court. They don't look like they stand in Mars Court. They stand like guards. But trust me. They're standing here in Mars Court. You come stand with them. That they're saying that we're with you. We got your back. Give your hand to them and give your heart to the Lord. We're going to ask